Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala asyrafil anbiya'i wal mursalin. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman katsiran katsiran. Amma ba'du. My dear respected brothers and sisters, ulama, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admonished and warned us where he said, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut wa innama tuwaffawna ujurakum yawmal qiyamah wa man zuhziha anin nari wa udkhilal jannata faqad faz wa mal hayatul dunya illa mata'ul ghurur. In this ayatul karima of Suratul Al Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned four things. First and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the only fact of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the only thing that can be said with complete certainty. When a child is born, you cannot say whether this child will be healthy or not. You cannot say whether this child will be learned or ignorant. You cannot say whether this child will be wealthy or poor. But what you can say with complete certainty is that that child will die one day. You can't say when. Maybe soon after, maybe decades after. But with complete and total certainty, I can say and you can say that this child will die. Now the question is, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need to tell us something which is so obvious? The problem with things which are so obvious is that they tend to get ignored. And especially if it is something which is very important, and because it is obvious, it is getting ignored, then it's all the more reason to remind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us about that. And he said, kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut. Every living being shall taste death. Wa innama tuwaffawna ujurakum yawm al-qiyamah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and the reward for your deeds, you will get after you die on the day of judgment. So when we do something in this world and we are told that the reward for this is so much, for example, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the reward for praying two rakat of sunnah before Salatul Fajr is more than this whole earth and everything it contains. He did not say how much more. He said it is more than this entire earth and all that it contains. Now what exactly does that mean? Can you put a number on that? Can you conceptualize that? Can you think about that in your mind? This whole earth and everything it contains means what? Did we think about that? Did we reflect on that? What exactly does it mean? And this is on a side note, this is one of the problems of the way in which we have become conditioned to treating Islamic education. Just collecting data. We don't stop at this point and say to our students and say to ourselves before that and say, now please think about this. What is the meaning of the whole earth and everything it contains? What exactly does it mean? In my heart, what do you feel about that and so on? Now you might say, well, you know, why am I belaboring this point? I'm belaboring this point because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this as something which is the reward for something else. So this is supposed to instill in me a desire to do that thing which earns me this as a reward. And what is that thing which earns this as a reward? The two rakat of sunnah before Salatul Fajr. So if I don't understand the reward, if the reward is not something that makes my mouth water with desire, then it's unlikely that I will pray that 2 rakat of sunnah before Salatul Fajr. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And then the third thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ زُحْزِهَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a criterion and a standard. And what is that standard? The one who is freed from the hellfire and entered into Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include all of you and all your families among those who will be freed from the fire and entered into Jannah, inshallah. وَمَنْ زُحْزِيَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. Only that person is successful. Again, on a side note, the Quran uses two words to describe success. One is falah and one is fawz. Falah is success, but it is success which is temporary, which is success after which there will be some other test. So, for example, you have a student who is studying in school, he finishes grade 10, then he's got another exam in grade 12, and then he's got another one, which is the university entrance exam, and then he's got another one, year 1, year 2, and this continues. So, even if the student is successful, he's got an exam, test after test. But fawz is the final test after which there is no success. So, fawz is the success after the final test. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that, which is the success of Jannatul Firdausul A'la bi ghairi hisab, insha'Allah. So Allah said, who is the one who's finally successful? Meaning for that person now, no more tests. It's over. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, follow those who are in their graves. He said, follow those who are in their graves. So they asked him, what is the meaning of this? Follow somebody who is in the grave. How do you follow somebody who is in the grave? He said, follow those who are in their graves means the one who has died on Iman, and he's talking about the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. He said, the one who has died with Iman, he is finally successful. So now if you do what he did, then you will be successful. Because for him now, there is no change. Whereas while I am alive, may Allah protect me from that. Today I'm standing here giving a khutbah to you, but there is no guarantee that I will remain like this until the moment I die. And may Allah protect me from that and make this dua for all of us, inshallah. If after this I change and I do something which is a major sin, or I leave Islam or something, then this khutbah is not guarantee for anything. It is gone, khalas. So while a person is alive, a person must be constantly cautious and not relax. Somebody asked Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the first person who got the bashara of Jannah from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They mentioned this to him. He said, I will not believe it until both my feet are in Jannah. Now what does that mean? Does it mean that he didn't believe the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? No. He believes that. What he's saying is, this is the bashara of Jannah I got at this point in time, but I am not going to tell myself that this means that I will never be, I'm guaranteed against misguidance. I will not say that to myself. Alhamdulillah, we know that if Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave the bashara of Jannah to somebody, khalas, alhamdulillah, that person is in Jannah. We have no doubts about that. But the person himself is saying, I would rather live with caution with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his hudud and not become overconfident because I got this bashara. I want to ensure that this bashara remains with me, that I don't lose it. وَمَنْ زُحْزِيَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. The one who has been freed from the fire and entered into Jannah, only that person is successful. So this is the third point. And the fourth point which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, and see the beauty of the bayan of the Quran. I'm not sitting here to make tafsir of this ayah, but each of these points which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this ayah is also sequentially related to each other. And what's the last point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said? وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Allah said that this life of this world is nothing but deception. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that to know something, we need metrics. To know something, we need metrics. I am standing here in Redmond, which is IT land. I came here in 1995 first when I was doing a project for Microsoft. So this is not my first time. This is the first time in this masjid, but not my first time in Redmond. So in that incarnation of mine as a business consultant, we talk about metrics and metrics and metrics. We talk about measurements. How do you measure the health of a company? How do you measure the financial stability of a company? How do you measure whether a company is going somewhere or going nowhere or going around in circles or what? Everything is metrics. What is the measurement? Now the issue with metrics is that metrics is not simply counting. Metrics is beneficial if the standard is correct. So if you're using, for example, any physical instrument to measure something and you get some results which you are not sure about, it looks like this thing is giving you some fancy, funny result, then what do you do with the instrument? You recalibrate it. You take it to the manufacturer or whatever, you press a button which says factory standards, you recalibrate the instrument, because only then will it give you the right results. Even a wrongly calibrated instrument will still measure, right? I mean, it will give you some reading. But that reading is not correct because it is based on the wrong standard. So you have to recalibrate the instrument in order to get the right reading. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us in this ayah, recalibrate yourself. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Recalibrate yourself. This world you are seeing is not what you think it is. What you see here as success. For example, if I ask people here in this masjid, I don't know who is who here, but the people here, they look like, you look like you got some money. You look like you got some, this guy looks like he's got about, are you about, maybe about 10, 15 billion, something like that, yeah. If I ask you and tell me, and don't, I'm not going to ask you, don't tell me, but I'm just saying, if I ask you, I say, give me your asset value, net worth. You will give me some number, right? Some insane number, which is one followed by a zillion zeros or something. But what are you really telling me? If I tell you I'm worth, my net worth is 50 million, what am I telling you? What do you think I'm telling you? You think I'm telling you this is what I have, right? If I say I'm worth 50 million, then you think that I'm telling you what I have, what I own. But you know what I'm really telling you? I'm telling you what I'm going to leave behind. Not what I own. I am telling you what my net loss will be when I go into the ground. That is the meaning of وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. This world is a world, this life is a life of deception. This is what, that's the deception. The deception is that what I think I own is actually what I will lose. What is my dalil? How do I tell you this? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam one day came home. And his wife Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, our mother, she said to him, Ya Rasulullah, there was a sheep, somebody sent a sheep, I had it slaughtered. And I gave everything away, everything is finished. Everything is gone except one shoulder. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to like to eat the shoulder meat. So she said, one shoulder I saved for you, everything else is gone. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya Aisha, everything else is there except that shoulder. That's my dalil. whatever I think I own is what I am going to leave behind. My net worth is not my net worth, it is my net loss. If I die with that thing in my pocket, it will stay here. I'm not saying you will go to Jahannam for that. No. I'm just saying that that will stay here. But what I send ahead of me, that is what is my net worth. إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. That is the recalibration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, recalibrate your instrument. Recalibrate your heart so that it recognizes that which is of real value. What is of real value? That which I spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. That is real value, because that will remain with me. Nobody can take that away from you. What you have spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ikhlas and with expecting the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, that is safe. Nobody can take that from you. Now, brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to understand life in truth, in reality, and not get deceived by shaitan. Because Allah said about shaitan, إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. He said he's a clear and manifest enemy, very clear. There's no deception about that. Shaitan never claimed to be anything other than our enemy. So I remind myself and you, let us recalibrate our hearts. Let us look at our lives. Let's go home and assess our real net worth. And that real net worth is what we send ahead of us. And let us live our lives in a way where when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, it will be a beautiful meeting. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then give us what we banked with Him. And when my Rabb Jalla Jalal, who gives it back, He will not give you back what you gave Him. He will give you back in keeping with His majesty and grace. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept you in His path. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to do that which pleases Him and to protect you from that which does not please Him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to convert all your net loss into net gain. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from all the evil that you know and all that you don't know. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you from sources that you cannot imagine. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to become sufficient for you, as He mentioned in the Quran that He would become sufficient for those who have tawakkul on Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.